absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. And as always, you know this is the master plan. Number to call in is 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220. Be right back. If you don't know, the guy's name is Peter Gabriel, the name of the song, back in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken, Sledgehammer. If you want to hear the whole thing, go to YouTube, put in Sledgehammer, push play, and you'll listen to it. And like I said, this is a master. We play different things. We have a wide variety of favorite music. Doesn't make a difference. We don't stick to one particular thing. I am a product of the 50s, so I've seen a lot of different music, experienced a lot of different music through my life. So I give it to you and see if you like it. If you don't, it's what I like. You can throw it away or whatever. And like I said, the number to call in is 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. We also have a chat room sitting in front of me right now. Whatever you put in there, I see it. If it's a comment, a statement, or a question of any kind, doesn't make a difference what the subject matter is. If you want to converse about it through the chat room, we can do that. And if you rather not do it through the chat room, like I said, I gave you the phone number, which is sponsored by the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com website. Go there to make your wagers, sign up, get yourself an account, and try to make some money. They have some pretty good odds there. I know people who have made money in that website. Why not that be one of you? And quite naturally, that same sponsor who sponsors this show sponsors the hotline that you call in on. So without further ado, I'm rambling on for the last 5 minutes. Let's get out of that, and let's get into what the show is all about. We're going to be talking about some four-legged animals. We're going to be talking about some two-legged animals in different sports. How about basketball? How about baseball? And how about my favorite sport, football? We're going to be talking about all those. Going to be talking about a dilemma that's going on with guys that are in high demand and are the equivalent of a quarterback in football. high. They get paid a lot. All right, they're the key guy for the most part. Key guys on their team, and there is a serious dilemma going on with them. We're going to be talking about that too, and we'll also be going and talking about, like I said, two-legged animals that in various sports. And one of them also is in boxing, too. I forgot to leave that out. So we got a lot to cover in about 54 minutes that's left in the show. Baseball, basketball, football, boxing. And we'll start it off like this. There are two-legged animals, one male and one female, that are celebrating their life today, their beginning of their life today. One is Rachel NFL Frazier. Haven't talked to her in quite a while. It's been quite a while since we talked to her. But she is celebrating her birthday today, and I want to wish her a happy birthday. And last but not least, before I go this, I want to say anybody who's celebrating a birthday, that I quite naturally I don't know your name, but if you're celebrating a birthday, I want to make sure that you enjoy your birthday. This is when you came into this world, whether it's good or bad. It beats the alternative, okay? And I wish you a very, very happy birthday. Very happy birthday. You only get one birthday that comes around once a year. Celebrate it with whoever is close to you at the time. Hopefully that you do have someone that you can celebrate it with, someone's that you can celebrate it with, family, a friend, a partner, whoever. Enjoy your birthday. And like I said, last but not least, my friend, for the last 5 years, it's gone past quick. He's a young pup. He's still a young pup in my eyes, 37. Now he's 38 years old, Mr. Victor Gardner, Mr. FSP, one who founded the main show on this network that we have of shows. As you know, we have the FSP show, which is on 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on a Saturday, hour-and-a-half show. Victor's the host. I am the co-host of that show. We have various guests comes on that show. And then we also have the FSP Crew Show, which is at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Thursday. I am the host of that show along with my two esteemed co-hosts, Black the Bookie, Mike Wright, and Jeff the Joker, Mike being from the D.C. area, Jeff being from New Jersey like myself. We throw it down on Thursday and give you the updated news of what's going on and give you our opinion and also talk about whatever sports is going on at that time, whether it's basketball, baseball, or football. Right now the subject matter, it can be tossed around to mainly basketball since it's deep into the playoffs. Or football, since we just ended up with the NFL draft, the 9th, 10th, and 11th of this past week, 9th, 10th, 11th of May. So we hold it down there. And then, of course, I happen to be the baby of the bunch, been on air for a few years, but the master plan, and you know who I am. JT, a.k.a. the Master. I hold it down every 10 a.m. On a Sunday, and we talk about the various things that are going on. Now, things change from Thursday to Sunday, so whatever took place Thursday after we went off the air on Thursday, Friday, we talk about some of that on Saturday, but things that happen over Saturday night that we can talk about on Sunday. And the main reason I put this show on Sunday is to fantasy football. I'm a big, huge fantasy football guy, and I wanted to give you insight, and those of you who have been listening over the years have given you insight on picking up players or watching out for some sleepers or some tidbits on fantasy football just before you go into your fantasy football week or fantasy football Sunday. So 10 a.m. Now, I'm not tooting my own horn, but I'm just saying this. A lot of the shows usually at one point started at 11:30. Some of those shows, since I've been on the air, have backed their shows up to 10 a.m. Or thereabouts, close by. But I'm still saying the same thing. I give you things that a lot of these shows are two to three weeks behind. And I've been told these different players. So hopefully, come fantasy season and it's fast, quickly approaching. We got 3.5 months, approximately 3 months when training camp starts, give or take. Okay, depending on who's starting when. Football season is going to be here real quick, people. Real quick. Real quick. Draft is already here. They already started rookie camps. Next thing is mini camps and OTAs. And then after that, a little short break. And then we get into the training camps and preseason games. Things happen real quick. Before you can blink your eye twice, it's going to be the first game coming out, the first regular season game coming out. So remember that. If you never listened to me, if this is the first time you've listened to me, just put it into the back of your mind, make a mental note, or even write it down somewhere on your calendar. Okay, because we're going to be going, especially in the summer, I think starting in mid-June, which is approximately a month from today. We're going to be breaking down each division of the NFL, talking about what we think, and this is going to be on Saturday, and probably somewhat on Sunday. I give you my little tidbits, but specifically on Saturday, FSP show, we're going to be talking about each division, each team in each division, what we think their record is going to be. Give us our ideas of how they're going to come out and perform this up-and-coming season, and also give you fantasy players on each of these teams and sleepers that may arise or come about, and even talk about some of these rookies that may or may not show out come this season. There's always at least a few rookies that surprise people out of nowhere. Well, We're going to try to give you, meaning Vic and I and company, we're going to try to give you those rookies before anybody else does. That's what we try to do. We can't hit on everything, but we give you little tidbits, our ideas, maybe things you never thought of before, and put them out there see if they come to fruition, or we are full of it. We're going to leave that up to you. Anyway, let's get on with the show. I've been rambling on enough. Let's start off with this. Yesterday, we're going to start off with four-legged animals, okay? Four-legged animals. We had a field of, 12? I think it was a field of 12, if I'm not mistaken, 10 or 12, in the Preakness, the second leg of the Triple Crown. Quite naturally, if you're a follower of horse racing, you know that the Kentucky Derby was the first Saturday in May, and 2 weeks after that, which was yesterday, was the Preakness, the 139th running of the Preakness. Pimlico happens to be one of my favorite tracks, and I did have California Chrome on top, but didn't have the horse that came second. Had the horse that came third, though. Didn't have the horse that came second. Anyway, California Chrome won the Kentucky Derby in pretty handily, and he repeated his performance in the Preakness. Now, quite naturally, there's always going to be, when a horse does that, wins the first two legs of the Triple Crown, that maybe we have the first horse that's going to win the Triple Crown in quite a few years, since the 1978. That's when, believe it or not, since 1978, when affirmed, and you can watch, you can look at it, you can Google it, affirmed, AFFIRMED, in 1978, won the Triple Crown. That's 36 years. 36 years since the horse has won the Triple Crown. Now, for those who don't know, the Kentucky Derby is a mile and a quarter. The Preakness is a mile and 3/16. So you go from a mile and a quarter to a mile and 3/16. And now a horse is asked in the Belmont, which is in Belmont Park, which is in New York, for those who don't know, to run a mile and a half and win that. 36 years, it hasn't been done. This horse has a shot to do it, as in the last 12 horses that have won the first leg. He has a chance to sweep it in the Belmont. 12 horses have tried in the last few years, at 36 years, 12 horses have tried. So that's the third. A third of the horses that have run, either won the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, but failed to win the third leg of it. And we'll have to wait and see. But the thing about it is, the California Chrome, for the last two races, in fact, every race he's run, he has run with what they call a nasal strip, which helps if those who play sports or those who jog or whatever put a nasal strip over the bridge of the nose. It helps you to breathe. It's the same concept that a horse has. You put a nasal strip, and it helps assist the horse to breathe. And there may be a problem in New York, because New York officials don't allow a horse to wear a nasal strip. 2 years ago, a horse that won the Kentucky Derby, I'll have another, won the Kentucky, like I said, won the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, and while wearing nasal strips. But the New York officials told the racing team that the colt couldn't wear one in the Belmont. Now, Art Sherman, who happens to be the trainer of California Chrome, it said that he's going to have a talk with the racing officials and the horse owners to see where they stand. The horse has never raced without a nasal strip. So we'll have to wait and see if California Chrome is indeed going to race, for one, because it's a grueling grind, these horses, especially these three-year-olds. These three-year-olds are just not, they're really not fully developed yet, but they're three-year-olds. Win the Kentucky Derby, win the Preakness, and then have to go a mile and a half to win the Triple Crown. It's a lot to ask of a horse, and this horse is used to running one way with a nasal strip. Horses are creatures of habit. The way the horse runs is the way the horse runs, plain and simple. You can't decide to go from one race to another and change something up that the horse is not used to, because you won't get peak performance, and it'll throw the horse off, whether it's a change of equipment, such as a nasal strip, or trying to change his running style. If he's a front-running horse, or he runs from off the pace, I mean, just off the leaders, or he runs from the back and has one big closing kick to try to catch the leaders. Horses are creatures of habit, so whatever they're going to do, they're going to do unless you change something, and then it's all bets off. You never know how the horse is going to react. So this is big. This is a big story in horse racing industry, especially for the trainers and owners of California Chrome, on which way this is going to fly with the New York racing officials. But good luck to California Chrome. One way or the other, he had a hell of a feat that he conquered the first two legs. Only 12 horses, like I said, since 1978 have gotten this far. So let's see what happens. Let's see how it plays out. All right. Let's move on to another subject I want to talk about, transitioning from the four-legged athletes to the two-legged athletes. And the ones that happen to be on the baseball diamond, in the center of the baseball diamond, the big money guys, just like a quarterback in football, the pitcher is a big money guy on the team. Just look at Clayton Kershaw and the like. These guys getting over $200 million, $250 million. The pitcher baseball. Well, guess what, people? Guess what? For some reason, this year, there's an epidemic of Tommy John surgery for Major League Baseball pitchers this year. Let me read an article here that I found on the website, and I'm going to give you a short update after that too. When Dr. James Andrews performed Tommy John surgery on the Padres' Josh Johnson April 24th, it marked the 14th time a Major League Baseball pitcher went under the knife with the procedure in 2014. Since then, that's been changed, and I'll give you the update change on that. Andrews will return to the operating room April 29th to repair the ulnar collateral ligament tear in the right arm of Yankees' Ivan Nova. That makes 15 pitchers before the first month of the 2014 season has ended. At this point, Andrews' estimation that there is an epidemic in baseball seems to be an understatement. Even before Nova, Johnson, and one other pitcher were added to the list of 12, Dr. James Andrews spoke about the disturbing number of UCL injuries on the MLB Network radio show on Sirius XM. And this is a quote from Dr. James Andrews, who's a renowned guy for doing his Tommy John surgery, among other type of surgeries for pro athletes. I think it's a trend. I'm inundated in the winter months with Tommy John injuries. Andrews' name seems to pop up in the news or on baseball shows every other day, which is why he has called the trend an epidemic. The majority of injuries he sees are freshmen in college and even younger, in contrast to his previous experience when it was only professionals needing the surgery. However, Major League pitchers having Tommy John surgery in 2014 could make up an all-star team. Matt Moore, Chris Medlin, Jarrett Parker, Patrick Corbin, and Brandon Beachy are just a few of the high-profile players on the list. Even more disturbing is how many pitchers have undergone their second Tommy John surgery before the age of 30. Jarrett Parker, Chris Medlin, and Johnson are among those who have had the procedure twice in their career. Tommy John himself recently weighed in on an unreal rash of injuries in 2014. That's the original Tommy John, the one who first had this surgery done. He told the Associated Press it was, quote, crazy. How many pitchers are following in his footsteps to undergo the procedure that requires more than 12 months of recovery time? The late Dr. Frank Jobe performed the first such surgery on the ex-Major League pitcher in 1970, that meaning Tommy John, allowing John to pitch another 15 years with his repaired UCL. If every procedure went like John's did, the surgery would have few negatives. That's not the case, says Dr. James Andrews. There's so much information about how good the procedure is that players don't want to wait. They want it done so it's a struggle. There's always room for conservative treatment, meaning alternative, rather than have Tommy John surgery, you opt to do something else, rehab or something else, rather than just go right into Tommy John surgery and have that invasive surgery done to you. The intense workload high school and college players are thrown these days clearly has something to do with the inundation of young people in Andrews' offices. For international players such as Ivan Nova and Daseki Matsuzaka, Andrews cited the prevalence of a year-round baseball as the culprit. Between the World Baseball Classic and Caribbean Winter League, there is simply no break. Caught between the decision to wait and see or immediately go under the knife, players are increasingly choosing surgery. And that has a lot to do with the money that's tied up in pitchers. Rather than go through a extended rehab process, and this is my own thinking, this is not out of the article, rather than go through an extended rehab and with the hope of the injury improving, teams, because of the money tied up in pitchers and the need for pitching, opt to have the surgery done, and if they're going to rehab, they'll rehab the whole thing rather than go through the rehab, have it not work, and then ultimately down the road after 3 or 4 months delay, have the surgery, and then they have to go through that much more rehab. And that delays the pitcher coming back quickly, a lot quicker. So I think the teams, because of the money tied up and because of the need of pitching, they want to get these guys back as soon as possible and don't want to bother with coulda, woulda, shoulda if the rehab doesn't work. Now, I'm going to give you 15 pitchers, but I'm going to give you more than 15 pitchers. I'm going to add these pitchers to it. This is just in this year. Jared Parker, and that's his second from the A's. Luke Hachevar from the Royals. Bobby Purnell, he's a closer for the Mets. Chris Medlin, he's on his second, along with Corey Lupke. He's on his second. Medlin from the Braves. Lupke from the Padres. Brandon Beachy from the Braves. Corey Gearing from the Braves. Matt Moore from the Rays. David Hernandez from the Diamondbacks, along with Patrick Corbin. Brian Moran from the Angels. Bruce Rondon from the Tigers. Jameson Taillon from Pirates, Josh Johnson, which is the second from the Padres, and Ivan Nova. And I'm adding these two guys because they're going to go under they either have or are going to, meaning Jose Fernandez, who's a big young pitcher was on the rise. I mean, he was a star emerging from the Miami Marlins. He underwent Tommy John surgery on Friday, which is a shame because this guy had it going on, really had it going on, and was shamed. And then also from the Martin Perez, he was an up-and-coming pitcher, decent pitcher that is going to go, is done for the year, and will have Tommy John surgery. So, what's going on? These guys are throwing harder, and they're using more of off-speed pitches, in my opinion. That's causing a lot of issues with their shoulders or arms. Elbows. So, I gotta think that what kind of solution they can have. You got these guys throwing all kinds of off-speed pitches, change-ups, splitters. Splitters always give you a lot of stress on your arm and joints in your throwing arm. Along with these guys who throw mid-90s and up, between the mid-90s and 100 miles an hour, that always You only have a certain amount of pitches in your arm before essentially you have a blowout. You only can go but so fast in a car at top speed before that car says, I've had enough. And I think that's what's going on. These guys are going 100 miles an hour for as long as it takes. And now this thing is becoming like a bandage. Tommy John surgery is becoming like a bandage to a lot of people. That you get a cut and you put a bandage on it. Quick fix. You have a tear or whatever in your elbow or in your shoulder. This is the Band-Aid. You fix it. It's only, you know, you never know when you have it. You never know, even with the amount of rehab that you have, and which is a 12 to 15 month rehab, a 12 to 18 month rehab, which is typical. What you're going to run into, and he have a hard thrower that is a very good pitcher. What's he going to be like with Thomas John surgery? Usually, this is something like an ACL a football is normally a football injury or a basketball injury. Ever since Adrian Peterson came back miraculously from his ACL injury, anyone who's got an injury past him is expected, for the most part, and this, people are surprised, for the most part, that they don't come back like Adrian Peterson. And that's becoming a 6 to 8 month rehab and coming back and I wouldn't say playing like your old self, because it usually takes after an injury like that, just like I imagine after Tommy John surgery, it usually takes after you come back from the 12, 18-month rehab. Then you get into playing. Then you have to have the physical and physical confidence and the mental confidence that your injury is okay, and you can try to do what you did last because you've rehabbed enough that everything around your injury is strong enough to hold up. Just like if you had an ACL, most guys when they have an ACL, it takes not – they've had an extended amount of rehab to get them back to playing in a sport. But it takes a year after that for them to, for the most part, not all of them, for the most part, to be able to perform like they performed before the injury. And I believe that, in my opinion, that's the case with the Tommy John surgery, that even though it's a 12 to 18 month rehab, you come back, you're still not the same again. I think the following year, so it's really a two-year process, or two-season process, that once you get back from the injury, you figure a year after that, you should be, if all goes well, you should be back to normal. All right. Enough on the Tommy John. Hopefully we can have these pitchers back and pitching strong. And let me include Matt Harvey in that, because he's rehabbing right now. I know he's trying to push back. Matt Harvey of the Mets is trying to push back himself to come back this season, which would be a bad idea. Wait till 2015 to make sure that you're completely healthy. So there's a lot of young pitchers out there and some other established pitchers that either have one Tommy John surgery or in a second that the game is missing because of various reasons. All right, let's move on to the Let me do this. why don't we do this? I'm going to go and do this. Let's go this route, and then we'll be right back in about a little more than a minute.
If you're into fantasy sports, you're going to love the Fantasy Sports Show with host Victor Gardner and co-host Jerry and Black every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. This show is so hot, I can only play the intro.
Fantasy Sports and Policy.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Fantasy Sports Show. Information, motivation, variety. For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad to... This is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to...
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, Stephen?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, we're back. We're back again. All right, as I do it every Sunday, since we're on a baseball kick right now, I do it every Sunday, talk about my fantasy baseball team. I don't know where to laugh first, to tell you the truth. Right now, I'm in like I was last week. I did pull out a win last week, surprisingly enough. Pulled out a win last week. But this week doesn't look good for the home team. Mired in 10th place. I've 20-something games behind, 26.5 games behind. Soon to fall back a little further. Probably in the 30-something range in games behind. 10 teams, I am number 10. Seems like no matter what I do, I think I make some good moves, make some logical moves, but they don't work out. My pitching is very suspect. I knew that going in. I had one guy I had when I drafted him, Kershaw, and he, I traded him away for a few players, which are, they're working out. I mean, my hitting hasn't been what I want it to be, but it's the second month of the season, 6 weeks into the season, give or take. I think my hitting is going to come around. 10 teams, like I said, I'm mired in 10th place. What I understand, we have four teams that are in the playoffs. So I have to really do some scrambling to try to make up ground. Even to be respectable. Right at this point, I want to take one position at a time. So I want to get out of last place. Let me put it that way. It won't happen this week. Like I said, we have 20 categories. You have to win the majority of categories to win the week, quite naturally. I won last week 10-9 after being down like 14-5 or something like that. Going into Saturday, well, I didn't. That magic never appeared this Sunday, this Saturday. Right now, it's on Sunday, and I'm 14-3, unless my hitting comes around, because I've tried different pitchers this week to try to get the most out of my pitchers. And I think I've squeezed the most out of my pitchers. I've had some bad luck with one pitcher in particular, Gio Gonzalez. And from what I understand, he's going in for an MRI. So he may be shut down or may go on a disabled list. Let me just read what it says here, that he's going to be placed on the disabled list. He's going to go under an MRI on his pitching arm. So we'll have to see what happens in the next few, maybe today, later on today, or Monday or Tuesday. We'll find out what's going on with him. I don't have a top-flight pitcher, let me put it that way. I don't have a named pitcher. So I'm doing a lot of streaming and doing a lot of things that I'm trying to get the most out of my pitchers because I have solid hitters. I have all-star hitters on my team. I have named players on my team that should be coming through. I have Matt Kemp. I know, well, he's not really a named player. Well, he is. He's coming back, and he's playing better than he's played in past years. He's hitting 271, which is not bad. He's got only 5 home runs and 13 RBIs, but I expect as the season goes on, he's going to pick that up. I have Brian Braun. He's already been on the disabled list once, but he's playing well. Andrew McCutchen is not at his all-star level yet. I expect him to pitch it up. Even though he is hitting 300, he's only got 4 home runs. He's got a decent amount of RBIs, which is 19. So Pablo Sandoval, he's in a contract year, so I thought he would be doing a lot better than he's been doing. He's only hitting 213 with 2 home runs and 10 RBIs. True, he's picked it up recently, but it's been a long road. Joey Votto, he just got hurt. He's coming off of a quad strain. Hopefully he'll come back in the lineup soon. He's hitting 257. He's got 6 homers and 12 RBIs. So I got some it's a crazy thing. I got Joe Mauer, and he's a great thing right now. I don't understand it. I don't understand it, but it is what it is. We have to weather the storm, whether it's good or bad, and hopefully I can come out of this. Now I've been, like I said, going back and forth with my pitchers. Some of these pitchers, for some reason, I don't know, aren't performing the way I thought they would. It is what it is. I'm sticking with them. I'm trying to find some jewels on the waiver wire. Hopefully I can get out of 10th place. I'm going to keep you posted. I told you at the beginning of the season, whether it's good or bad, whether I'm talking a lot of junk and I'm number 4 or 5 or number 1 or I'm 10th, I'm still going to be talking about this team. I'm still going to be talking whether I suck, which right now I suck big time, and I'm letting a few of my fellow team owners or let me know about it because I've talked a lot of junk first season when I won it, last season when I just missed the playoffs, talked a lot of junk, talked a lot. I mean, I talked a whole bunch. And you know what? I told Vic on the show yesterday, and I tell you people today, you reap what you sow. The chickens have come home to roost, and because I've talked a lot of junk in the past, people are coming down on me hard, which is fine. I'm a big boy. I'm 60 years old. I'm a big boy. I can take this. It's no, you know, you got to, if you dish it out, you got to be able to take it. I believe in that. I live by that. If you dish it out, you better be able to take it. And I'm not a person that I can't laugh at myself and talk about myself at a dummy or whatever. When I do say or do dumb things, I'll be the first one to tell you I'm not perfect. Never claim to be. I'm only human. So it is what it is. So got about 15 minutes left in the show. Let's talk about a little bit a little baseball. Basketball. Let's talk about a little basketball. Now, as you know, if you're a basketball fan, then you know that now it comes down to four. Two in the West, two in the East. Two in the East being the Indiana Pacers, the number one seed in the East, against the number two seed, Miami Heat. And we knew this rivalry, because now it is a rivalry. These two teams do not like each other, and they match up well against each other. Now, say what you will about the Indiana Pacers and the dysfunction they've had over the last few months. Well, guess what, people? All through all that dysfunction, which I think it makes them only stronger, and I think I've been saying this before, I think they have a renewed confidence. They are where they want to be. In the NBA Finals, and going up against the Miami Heat. Miami Heat beat them last year to go on to win the NBA championship back-to-back against the San Antonio Spurs, and I still say the Spurs should have won that, but I digress. It is what it is. And the Indiana Pacers, like I said, through all their trials and tribulations, through all their dysfunction, through all their knuckleheadedness, so to speak, and extremely bad play, they are where they want to be in the Eastern Conference Finals with a chance, a shot, playing a seven-game series, have to win four out of the seven to go to the NBA Finals. And you know what? I know supposedly I've heard it from a few people that the NBA wants LeBron and company go back there. Everybody's got a love fest for LeBron. Like he's the whatever he says goes in the NBA. I'm not a big LeBron fan. I'm definitely not a Miami Heat fan. I watched a few of these games that they played last against the Brooklyn Nets, and I'm telling you, it's a damn shame. All I can say is a damn shame. I'm just a fan of basketball. When I watch these games, I'm just a fan of basketball. And I can shake my head and say, "How can it happen?" I can't even imagine being a player on the court or sitting on the bench or somebody on the coaching staff of the opposing team against the Miami Heat and see some of the things that go for the Miami Heat and shouldn't. Now, I got a call from the 334. Let me bring this caller in and see what we got. Caller from the 334, welcome to the Master Plan. You're speaking to Jerry, a.k.a. the Master. State your name and tell us what you got to say.
Hey, this is Dr. Walter Sam, a.k.a. the Minister of Motivation, a.k.a. Rams Baller, calling to give y'all a shout-out from the Dirty Dirty South in Dothan, Alabama. Heat will three-peat. The Rams, I don't know what they were doing to pick who they picked, but I guess we need defense and offense. And I love sports all around, big man.
Okay. I have me talking about the Heat, and I'm not a fan of the Heat. Now, why do you think the Miami Heat will be able to three-peat, which is very extremely hard to do against a highly motivated Indiana Pacers team that I think gotten their proverbial, and excuse my language, shit together?
Well, simply, and this you won't find this in any commentary, any write-up, whatever. They do not have, and I'm going to steal a term from my young people very quickly, they don't have the swag of a champion. You know what I'm saying? They just, being a champion would not fit them. You know what I'm saying? And Miami just has another gear that they go to during playoff time, and they know what it takes. They know what it takes to win. They, they haven't had the love that Indiana had. I think Indiana messed up, and you may disagree with me, but I think Indiana messed up when they got rid of Granger. I think that hurt them more than helped them. They got a Bynum in there. That messed up the chemistry. And really what that did, that hurt Roy when they got Bynum, because that told Bynum, you're not sufficient enough to be the big man that we can count on, so we need to get you some help. And that hurt his ego a little bit, and you could see it with his play. He went in the tank, and then when they got rid of Bynum, he kind of came back a little bit. But I heard the other day that big men have that kind of psyche, so I really don't think the Pacers are there yet. They are still maybe 1 year away.
Okay, well, you know, with play comes experience. With experience comes know-how to win. You don't think that the times they've played the Heat, whether it's in a regular season, especially in the playoffs, that they've got a formula that with their more experience playing the same team, especially in big moments like this, they develop a swag, especially against the Heat. And can't pull it off. Because I really believe, you have to think about this. The Indiana Pacers, and everybody's been on the bandwagon of dumping on the Indiana Pacers for the last few months because they've waived their play versus the way they played earlier in the season. Well, they got past the first round, the Atlanta Hawks.
Right.
And then they got past the Wizards, okay. They played pretty bad for a few games against the Hawks until David West pulled them out of Game 6, okay?
That's right.
And it seemed like after that Game 6 win that the psyche of the Indiana Pacers turned around. And they played a lot better ever since that Game 6 against the Atlanta Hawks. And I truly believe the way they played earlier this season is the way they are playing now, not the way they were playing the last 2 months. So I think their competition against the Miami Heat is elevated enough that Miami Heat's going to have a handful. What do you think?
Well, I agree with that. You talk about that winning formula. I understand, but I'm just gonna mess with you a little bit, because look at the Brooklyn Nets, for example. They swept the Heat during the regular season, but the Heat took care of them 4-1. So I'm saying now, let me say it like this. If Indiana had caught Miami 3 seasons ago, it would definitely be a coin toss. But right now, Miami knows what it takes. They went ahead and took care of their first 2 series. They've got sufficient rest. And their goal, Master, their goal is to just win today, or I guess Tuesday when they play again. Their whole goal, their game plan is they want to win today to get the home court advantage. And you mark my words, they're going to split in Indiana so they can get the home court advantage.
Well, usually, and I can't deny it, because usually what happens is, and you're right, usually what happens in these playoffs the home team splits with the road team, or vice versa, whatever you want to. Game three is usually a pivotal game when you go back to the next team's court.
That's
game
right.
three is usually a pivotal game. So most
That's
times
right.
they do split. So whether they win the first game, which is I think is key for Indiana, I think you're right about that, or whether they win the second game. The key is to at least split. Miami has to split, or Indiana has to split to take it to the next court. And not
that's
be down
right.
2-0
right.
versus 1-1. So I understand
what
you're
exactly
saying.
That's right. That's right.
So I have to wait and see, because I think, let me put it this way. And it's the old guys. The old established guys in this series are the Miami Heat
and the San Antonio
Spurs. Well, I'm calling for a new age coming out here. I think Oklahoma's going to get San Antonio, and I think Indiana's going to get over the hump. Let me say this. If you look at the last two games, the Brooklyn Nets play with the Miami Heat, and you looked at it objectively, if you have allegiance to either team,
okay,
there were a lot of questionable calls, especially late in the last game, in a Miami Heat game, give me a break. So I understand Miami Heat had an easier path than the Indiana Pacers. So we'll have to wait and see, because this is a big game here. To me, this is a big key game, first game in the series.
I totally agree. And that being said, that's why I believe the Clippers, now I don't know how you're feeling, and I know we pushed up against time. The Clippers got, and we hate to blame it on the referees, but in this case, I think the Clippers got robbed, if you will. But I like what Chris Paul said. You can't really blame it on the refs. I played bad in a couple of moments. And OKC, and I want to hear your take on this. OKC would not win a championship until Westbrook gets his head to the place, get his game to the place where he understands that he's not the man. It's Kevin Durant is the man, because that game where they lost by a shot and he took that last shot and missed it, they had 6 seconds left in the game. He should have gave the ball up to Kevin Durant because Kevin Durant was hot. Why are you going to try to take the game-winning shot? But Russell Westbrook is their thorn in their side that will prevent them from winning.
Russell Westbrook is, you love him when he's playing well, and you hate him when he's not. He does a lot of knucklehead things. If you listen to my show in previous years, I've always questioned Russell Westbrook because he's got that mentality that he's the man versus NBA scoring champion multiple times, the Kevin Durant. I mean, come on. You're exactly right.
You're doing a good job, and I love your show, and let's see what the Heat going to do today.
Okay. We'll see. Go Indiana. I appreciate you calling, my man. Anyway, thank you for calling in. I appreciate your conversation. Call in again. I'll be here next Sunday. I want you to call in again because there's going to be at least two games, maybe three games played by the time we talk again. Miami's playing again. Miami's playing Indiana today. First game of the seven-game series of the Eastern Conference Finals. 3:30 on Sunday on ABC, game one. Tomorrow is OKC at 9 o'clock against San Antonio on TNT. I want to thank the caller for calling in. I appreciate that call. Always enjoy conversation, whether good or bad or whatever. You agree with me or not, you don't have to, because that just makes better conversation. Again, Rachel NFL Frazier, Vic Gardner, I want to wish you a hell of a birthday. Enjoy it. Cherish it. You only get one of these a year. You only get one whatever year of your birthday is, 38 for Vic, whatever NFL Rachel is going to talk about. Rachel NFL Frazier is going to say her real ages, or she's going to give us a fake. It doesn't make a difference. Just enjoy your birthday, because it's your special day, people. Tune in next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. And as always, when we leave here,